It's the Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
Jay! Jay! Hey! My headset's
Text or call the show at 916-339-1140. It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports 1140.
Well, hey, as we're getting Sean Salisbury on the line, you saw that during the break. Brett Favre's radio show has been put on hold. Yeah, I didn't think he was going to get much punishment, but now...
That'll show him.
That'll show... That's enough now. Yeah. Lay off.
Yeah.
I mean, he... Did he help
the
steal...
The punishment fits the crime.
Yes. Maybe he stole or helped steal millions of dollars from literally the poorest people in the country so he could build a volleyball gym for his kid.
But now he can't talk to him on the radio.
But now he can't talk to him on the radio. Justice has been served.
Yes. Well done.
Somebody on the text line, 916-339-1140, I agree with them, especially based on that last segment. They said, we're talking about vocal leaders. Jay Crowder would be a wonderful addition to this team.
Potentially available.
He is. He's available. The Suns have put him on the market. He was not at Media Day yesterday for Phoenix. He's going to get moved. He's an expiring. He's fairly cheap. And he's not a lockdown defender, but he's a very committed defender.
Yeah.
And somebody that brings that playoff and championship mentality. He's been in huge games. That move would very much excite me. Go ahead.
Sorry. I'm just trying to think of what it would cost, fit.
That's the problem.
And I'm also trying to figure out if there is anyone else on this roster that can be of that role. And the one thing you can't do, you can't force.
I think
it's great if your best players are that.
Right.
If that's not totally in De'Aaron's makeup. Again, we're not saying these guys are people wanted Tyreek Evans to do that. It's like, well, he's just kind of chill. And that's who you've got to be authentic to yourself. If you want him to go out there and scream and yell, get these guys and hold them accountable, it's just not what he did. That's not his fault.
No.
I think of, again, everything we do, seemingly we go back to the best success of this team, and that was in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they had one specific, but Vlade was such an incredible leader.
Yes.
But a really likable leader. And I think they did a lot of very good self-policing. But the big difference was they were good. Yes. Like, it's hard to get there. Like, you need to get yourself there. I think players like Patrick Beverley can lift a team. Yes. There's a few players like that that might be annoying as heck, but it's like, man, they're making us better. Draymond's right. Making us better. And then when you're already good, you know, hey, you have winning habits, you know how to win. Then maybe there's, hey, we're slipping here. Let's bring it together. I know the conversation we're going to hear tomorrow with Harrison Barnes had really good points. It's like, look, I may need to yell at Jason, but not at Dave. Or what?
Right.
Like, you also have to figure out who responds better. Like, hey, he's missed four shots in a row. Like, just feed him again. Or is it, I need to, like, your form is different, or those are bad shots, or like, do I need to get after you? And I think you have to figure that all out. But also, Harrison's not going to be a guy that's screaming at you.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to think about, and what he brings up tomorrow. It's a great point. More on that a little bit later. In the meantime, we got a guest. Here we go.
Woo-hoo.
USC legend, Grey Cup champion, NFL quarterback, and BattleBots host.
Yeah,
Sean Salisbury.
Hey, listen, each and every week I say a guest. Come on, it's our guy. The one,
it is
the
our
only.
Guy.
Been through the ups, been through the downs, and I'm so glad to see this guy on just a perpetual up, as I knock on wood because I'm superstitious, but I'll bet you Sean would say, hey, buddy, don't worry about the superstition. It ain't luck. The more you practice, the luckier you get, and Sean deserves everything he's got and more. How are you doing, pal?
I'm doing great, thank you. Well, yeah, everybody needs a little luck. You don't, step off a curb and twist your ankle, but good people around you and great teammates always help, too. So thank you, brother, and I like the grind.
Well, you mentioned, let's see, there's a lot of great segues in here because you mentioned ankle, you mentioned teammates.
Mm.
So that brings me to Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo and that whole situation. Obviously, Trey out with his injury, one of his teammates, Jimmy, taking over. And Sean, I'm going to do a long lead in here because you know what you're talking about so well. I tried to look at it from both sides, including The guy didn't have a training camp, didn't have the playbook, this, that, whatever. Do you buy any of that? Is there a defense of Jimmy Garoppolo, in your opinion?
Well, the one thing is he didn't play well, and I understand the slight rust of not getting a lot of reps, guys, you know, because of the injury, but also they had to get Trey a lot of work in training camp. I get all that, and not playing him, wondering if he was going to get traded or not. I get all that. But the playbook thing has me a little baffled. It does. Now, if you told me that this was his first year in the system,
sure,
that a playbook that he hadn't played with this team and that he was still learning it and didn't have it, then I'd be concerned. But I'm a little – that part confused me. Poor performance. Listen, you can't throw the ball to the wrong guy. You got to be accurate. You can't miss Deebo Samuel when he's wide open, which at times in Jimmy's career, and he's a really good player, at times in Jimmy's career has happened in big games. Those are the simple things I've talked about on here he's got to make. So, but when it comes to the mental side, I would imagine, I'm just thinking about my career, and I'm not Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's a better player, but in the 5 or 6 years or so I was in Minnesota, when you got it wasn't, unless they put some new formation in, the verbiage never changed when it was the coach, and you just stuck with it. And Kyle hasn't left. His verbiage hasn't changed. So that part baffles me. And I think that's a little bit of a poor excuse for a veteran who's better than that. But he's got to be better performance-wise. But, guys, think about this. And you know I like Jimmy. I think he's a good player. But he's got to play better and great. That's why they drafted Trey Lance. They need him to have a little more out-of-body experience. But it was like 19-4, 19-5 his first 24 games or so. His last 22 games, he is 12-10. He's thrown 18 interceptions. He's fumbled 4 times.
Oof.
And they're 12-10. So he's averaging a turnover a game for the last 22 games. It should be going the other way. It should be going the other way. I don't like those returns. Jimmy's got to get better.
Sean, I'm thinking to your days as a QB, if you want all your pieces available, but if I told you you're starting this Sunday and your best offensive lineman is out, and that's Trent Williams, or your top skill or top two skill players are out, which avenue would you choose? Which one would you want in place more often?
I think for me, one is I would first off think, okay, because you can't play the position sitting on your booty, man. You just can't. Mm-hmm. And it's dominant in the run game. If you told me normally, if I have 4 good ones and they got to get better up front and my star goes out, but I feel comfortable with a backup, I can adjust my protections to help him. And losing Trent Williams is a monster gig, trust me. But if you told me, well, you got 4 other ones that are doing a really good job and can handle the run game, we got a fill-in coming in, or take that away and we got those 5 guys, we got a backup running back because our starter's hurt, and we've got Deebo and George Kittle out, ooh, that changes game plan, and they're not dominating the line of scrimmage. I'd probably... because if it was just one guy that made the difference, it'd be a whole story. But when there's 5 offensive linemen, I can get a little bit better. I would probably say, if it's a short term, I would say, give me the 2 weapons because we're not scoring many points, and let's manipulate the protections without our tackle in Trent Williams' case. But over the course of a long season, I need those 5 guys up front. Hard to play the position from a sitting-on-your-ass standpoint, but – I know that they've got to be more innovative, and Kyle's going to have to think outside the box a little bit more to create better running lanes, to protect the quarterback, but also to get guys in space so Jimmy Garoppolo has a free reign. It ain't going to be any easier. What do they got, the Rams this week?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get any easier with Aaron Donald on the and that pass rush and the Rams trying to get back to their normal game.
Sean Salisbury with us. Sean, this is more of a broad question, but we were having this philosophical conversation yesterday with the way the defense is and so many of those skill positions, Kyle Shanahan's play calling, et cetera, this team is built to win a Super Bowl. It's the quarterback that has been their Achilles heel. You hear the rumors that they had a shot at getting Aaron Rodgers over the last couple of years. They definitely had a shot at getting Tom Brady. If you're the one that's wearing the suit like John Lynch, do you think this team was smarter trying to go after an existing star quarterback rather than trying to draft the replacement for Jimmy's limitations?
And with the window that is created in the NFL, mm-hmm. and the way that the last team, look at Jacksonville, that can possibly finish, win the division with the way they're playing,
yeah.
Oh, I would always. And listen, and both those guys, we're talking like generational type Mount Rushmore, top 10 of all time. One of them's the GOAT, and you could put the other one. You ain't leaving him out of your top 7 or 8 when it just comes to pure players. And as far as pure throwers go, he's up there with Marino as the best of all time. So, oh, I would, with that roster as well. Think about it, guys. They have stars at 5 or 6 positions where that guy is as good as anybody in the league. Fred Warner, George Kittle, you know, Trent Williams, Debo Samuel. I mean, they've got those guys. Oh, this team's been set up for that 5-year roster window to have the one thing they're missing, a guy who can make throws and carry a team when other guys are hurt. If you got Aaron Rodgers and Trent Williams is out, he's going 30 of 38. That's who he is. If you got Brady and 3 of your receivers out, you'll be in position to win and still finding ways to get it done and going for a 2-point conversion and have 55 come from behind victories in your life. So, yes, looking back, and we always have hindsight, there is no question. Jimmy's never going to be either one of them. Trey Lance is never going to be either one of them. And if you could have got them reasonable and kept your roster pretty much intact, you don't ever pass up on Brady or Rodgers if it's possible, because I'd take one Super Bowl now to have to rebuild in 3 years, then hope to get a Super Bowl and know that in 5 years you may have to rebuild anyway because people get free agents and salary cap leave. Always get the quarterback first. And they had 2 chances at those guys and didn't and couldn't pull it off.
Sean Salisbury with us. Sean, the position, there's got to be some feel to it. Will all his fans watch go, ah, how did the quarterback throw that one? Did he not see the safety? Did he not see the linebacker? But I don't understand the lack of feel for Jimmy at that end zone going out of the back of the end zone. I know it's happened before, but can you even explain how that situation, there was a deeper drop than needed to not have the sense of where he was. How does that a play like that even happen?
Yeah, well, it's simple mental lapse. It is. Now, I do, when people are saying, when all this, you know, it's much easier, as you had mentioned, for all of us to sit at home during on highlights or sit at home watching on TV and say, dude, there's the end zone, as opposed to the guy that you're backed up, you got to drop back in out of your end zone, make a play, which fortunately for him, they did step out of the end zone or it ends up 6 more points. So, yeah, it doesn't happen much. We've seen punters do it, and our guy Dan Orlovsky, but other than that, it doesn't happen much. It's just a sense of awareness, and it goes with what Jimmy said about getting a feel for the playbook again and my arms, you know, all those things. But it just can't happen, because imagine, guys, and it was a close game, imagine if the score's tied and now you give up 2 and you got to go. He's just got to be more aware, easier for us to see. But part of playing that position is mental, physical, all the emotional awareness. And Jimmy's got to get back into that, because this team, unfortunately, doesn't have time to be in a chase mode all season long.
That is Sean Salisbury on air 4 hours in Houston each and every morning, Monday through Friday. Comes right on with us and, so much more. Sean, we always appreciate your insight we can't get anywhere else. Have a good week, my brother.
You too, fellas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. That's Sean Salisbury. Probably going on some New York radio station.
Yeah, right now.
I feel like he just sits there with a headset all day.
He should. He just finished a show.
Just click, 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 yeah. Click, on and on. And he truly loves it. You got to respect that. We'll take a break when we come back. Rashawn Holmes, media day yesterday. We'll visit with him after this.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross. Stimulating conversation about kitchen gadgets and baseball cards.
I think that's really crazy interesting.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross. On Sactown Sports, 1140.
Welcome back. thanks to Sean Salisbury. I want to jump around here real quick before we get to Rashawn Holmes. I want to go back to before Sean, the whole Jay Crowder conversation we were having, how that would be an interesting guy to add to the Kings. I did look at the trade machine because, you know, that's what we do.
What are you up to over there?
Well, in order to get it done, there's limited options. Honestly, you know, the one that might actually make the most sense is the guy we're about to talk to. That trade works. Rashawn Holmes or Jay Crowder straight up. There's some duplication between Rashawn. You're giving me a look. Between Rashawn and DeMontis Sabonis that was talked about. They do have Len. They could add somebody else. And by the way, and this is no... I love Rashawn.
Right.
And you'll hear here in a second just how awesome. But that's not... It's not show friends. It's show business. Yeah. And Would this team
but
be?
I like Show Friends.
Listen, and some of the things Rashawn's going to talk about. Wow, when it comes to what he worked on the offseason, is very very exciting.
Yeah,
but it just comes down to what would benefit this team more, and what's duplicated the less. So I don't know. It's just a thought,
right?
That's the thing, and I know you're not saying this, but so many of us, it's like, well, let's trade all the guys we don't like for people that we do like. Other GMs get paid, too.
Sure.
And Rashawn Holmes is actually a guy I think that would also be able to help out as a backup to DeAndre Ayton, would be able to help out, and he's played in Phoenix before.
Well, and I think he's an interesting one here of the case study of the Kings. We imagine him still being a King, and he is, and thinking he's going to be on this roster. He's now a backup.
Yeah.
That's the spot he thrived and got his career going, helped get him signed here.
Yeah.
Then he played above that and became a starter that they couldn't take off the floor and was great. Last year was a weird year, and I know we'll hear this coming up, but if he can get back into thriving in the backup role, that would be great for this team. But, you know, that's a big question.
One other note, too, is going back to what Sean said, and then we'll get to Rashawn Holmes. He said, I can't. There was a lot made in social media yesterday about, like, why would anyone possibly defend Jimmy Garoppolo? Are you kidding me? And then a lot of obvious and not so obvious references. And I think the overall, listen, let's call it what it is. I think the overall references is that the media and a lot of fans in general, the inference was, is that Jimmy Garoppolo gets a lot more leeway than Trey Lance. And part of that might have something to do with color, but it's just, that's how I read it. By the way, I think that's largely accurate in a sense. But I still think you can look at Jimmy and you can say, here's what his record's been. He's gone to a Super Bowl and NFC championship game twice in 3 years. These are all undisputed facts. And where he has nowhere, and this is what we said yesterday, he has nowhere near the ceiling of Trey Lance. But just trying to find a bright side, is there some hope for Niner fans because he didn't really have a preseason, because he was away from the team, because this was the first week that Denver, a team, actually schemed for him? And I think both sides can be fair, and both sides in that vacuum can be true. Don't know if it's going to work like that. I don't know that Jimmy's going to. I would say this. I think Jimmy Garoppolo, if he's healthy this year, is I think his average play is going to be much better than Sunday night was.
Oh, yeah. I don't think he's
that's
better
the
than
real
that.
Jimmy.
Yeah, he wasn't good, but he's better than that for sure.
And let's be clear, this show was very supportive of Trey Lance and very excited, even though we didn't know.
Right.
Very excited. Understand the ceiling. It's just the stupid injury happened.
Yeah.
Rashawn Holmes visited with us at Media Day yesterday. We got a couple minutes with him. Here's what it sounded like.
All right, so we're here with Rashawn Holmes, and I'm going to be honest. I can't speak for Jason. I care less about you, more about your parents. How are they?
they do it great. They do it great. Can't wait to get them out here. You know, they are super excited for this season, so y'all going to be seeing them a lot, trust me.
I'm curious. You get recognized a lot of places in Sacramento. How often do they get recognized?
My mom gets recognized before I do, before people realize I'm with her. So my mom is like the big celebrity of the family for sure.
We won.
Right. Your mom is, and I guarantee you she does this with so many people, but I'm trying to find it right now. The pages of messages with your mom after every, like, she's such a fan.
Oh, for sure.
And
for
I sure. guarantee you she's talking to half the media members in town, and it's just so cool to see that bond you guys have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's been like that since I was playing AAU coming up. Like, she's always been the same, had the same attitude, her and my dad, just want to be supportive and show as much love as they can, so can't wait for them to be out here this year.
Well, we got to follow up on one thing. Remember on the show when you asked who taught you how to block shots, we had your mom on as well. You gave the wrong answer, at least in her mind. How was the feedback after that?
It was not good. No, it was not good, and she was on me to never miss that question again. So my mom taught me how to block shots for everybody out there who wants to know.
That was the correct answer. Off-season, what did you work on? Did you have any fun? Did you get away? What was
it like? I had a lot of fun. You know, got a chance to spend time with family. And go on a couple of vacations and things of that sort. And definitely been in the gym like crazy. Like crazy than I ever been in my career. So I'm in the best shape that I've probably ever been in. And I've just been working on things they need me to work on, you know, stretching the floor, ball handling, decision making, things of that sort. And you know, I'm really, really confident in the work I put in this summer. Absolutely.
Stretching the floor. Now, you've shot threes before, maybe not as much with the Kings. Is that what I'm hearing here?
Absolutely. You know, it's something to work on, and it's something I'm looking forward to showing. You know, like I said, I have a lot of confidence in the work I put in this summer, and so looking forward to showing it.
You know, off-court stuff aside, it seemed like during the season, I swear to God, you got something weird happened to you every other game, the eye or this or that. You were getting banged. Have you ever had anything close like that for a season?
I haven't. You know, just, you know, being hurt like that, like you said, back to back, you know, things happening, never really getting a chance to get into that rhythm. But, you know, done a lot of things to take care of the body, get back, and making sure I'm doing whatever I can to, you know, be on the floor when I'm ready to be ready to perform. So I'm just looking forward to putting all that behind me, honestly, and getting back to the game.
Are you done with the goggles?
No, the goggles will be back. Goggles will be back. Yeah, I don't
trademark.
I don't think I'm going to probably ever play another game without goggles after the two-eye injury. So they'll definitely be back. Got to pick out a nicer model, but we'll see what we can do.
I would think, I mean, what is that adjustment? We've seen people with masks, the goggles. Like, you're comfortable now?
Yeah, a lot more comfortable than I was. And like I said, just probably try to get some slimmer ones. I don't know if the science experiment joints are for me, but we'll see what we can do.
Okay, well, first off, I mean, I'm not your agent, but I feel like there's an endorsement there, okay, with the goggles.
I hope y'all hear him. Somebody.
And secondly, I'm pretty sure, at least for now, not for the next couple months, the all-time leading scorer in the NBA wore goggles.
That's true.
If it worked for him, it worked for you.
Absolutely. If he can pull it off, I think I can do something with it for sure.
All right, I know they got to have you run Outlook on the team. What do you feel about the group coming in this year?
Just excitement. You know, I think the climate in the gym is different. You know, when you come in, you see guys, you know, together early in the offseason trying to work on things and build chemistry together, which is just something I haven't seen since I've been here. So I just think it's definitely a difference, and it's tangible this year. It's something you can feel instead of just talk about, and we're looking forward to going out there and proving.
Awesome. Stay healthy, have a great year, and give your mom and dad our love.
Absolutely will. Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
That's Rashawn Holmes. Hey, jovial.
Three-point shooting, Rashawn Holmes?
Mm-hmm.
You got to do it.
I think so.
I mean, if you are a big now and can't do that, you have to be spectacular on the block. That doesn't happen anymore.
Also, just want to address real quick, because I'm sure a couple people out there are thinking about it. We didn't forget about the stuff he was dealing with in the offseason,
right,
and that everyone in his family was dealing with in the offseason. You just can't talk about it, so it's not even worth approaching, because all you're going to hear is us asking and him saying, I can't talk about it. The best we could do there is just address really the injuries, because that was a real thing last year. Like, he just had, I mean, on top of the horrific stuff in the outside world.
It was the totality of everything.
It was the totality of everything. Like, wow. So, you know, you hope that I don't take last year was a complete anomaly for me when it comes to Rashawn. And I truly, I mean, listen, it'll be very interesting to see him and Sabonis working maybe not necessarily on the floor together, but back and forth. So we'll take a break. When we come back to the NFL, as we're moving quick here. NFL power rankings after 3 weeks. We got them for you next.
Check out the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa every week on Sactown Sports 1140. Get the latest on equipment, area courses, people that play the great game, and plenty of good conversations about golf.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa
every week on Sactown Sports 1140. Golf to Go is brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility, and Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality. And Safe Credit Union. Let us put you first. The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross. Text or call the show at 916-339-1140 on Sactown Sports 1140.
That's a crummy moment, too, by the way. We didn't mention towards the end of last night's Monday Night Football game, Sterling Shepard.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Just jogging off at the end of the play, and you look at, not only was it non-contact, like,
it was nothing.
He was just jogging.
Yeah.
And then his knee exploded. He's coming off of an Achilles deal. The amount of games he has missed, and you hate that for anyone, but then when you hear, first off, you saw players from both sides going over there, and that's not abnormal, But then you hear the players talk about it, and it's universally like, he's one of the best guys in the league. I mean, it's almost like how people, I don't know, maybe it's because we had just talked to him, but it was very similar to how people talk about Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
Like, everyone loves him, greatest guy in the world, and but in Sterling's case, has just gone through so much crap. And now...
It just felt like that's the kind of thing that would happen to, like, you or me jogging.
Yes.
Like, not a world-class athlete. Like, yes. Literally nothing happened. Like, sometimes you go non-contact, but there were they cut.
Right.
It was like, oh, and the turf or something. It was like, no, you're just running.
Lightly jogging off.
Oh, no.
And then the knee explodes. And there's nothing official. At least I haven't seen anything official yet. But it was thought yesterday that he had, you know, the Giants feel like he has suffered a major knee injury and expected to what they're calling a serious left knee injury. They'll get the diagnosis today, but it certainly sounds like he is going to miss the season. And also, a guy who's 29 years old.
Yeah.
Which, you know, receiver
in football is 100.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, we've got power rankings for you. Yes. As always, week 3 winds up, and we know exactly who's great and who is not. Let's see. How do we want to do this? You first, me first. Do we want to go 5-5-4-4-3-3?
Yeah, 5-1.
Okay, 5-1. Are we alternating here? 5-5.
Sure, I can go first.
Okay, go ahead.
I have put at number 5 this week, after 3 weeks, the defending Super Bowl champion, Los Angeles Rams.
Ooh,
they're 2-1.
They are.
The first week was not their best performance. They had, they've been shaky too. Look, this league is not certified. These are the five. Like, there's.
Yeah.
This isn't as easy as you think. I mean, there's other candidates here, but I'll still reward them off last year. I think they're a good football team.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're amazing, but they're good. I'll put them at 5.
Number 5 for me, RELAX.
Okay.
Give me the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. I will say this was the second toughest decision. The other one is just placements.
Yes.
But who to put at 5? Listen, I know Tampa Bay's beaten up, but it's still Tom Brady. They went in there and just gritted one out, and you just get that feeling with the Packers. When are they not going to be a top 5 team with Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
So by default, it was between them. Thought about the Rams, a couple of other teams. I put them at number 5.
Okay. My number 4 team is coming off a loss, and it was a bad loss.
Mm-hmm.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
I think they're good. I mean, I just think they're a flat-out good team. It's kind of like the college rankings where you go, wait, how does Alabama have 2 losses and they're number 8 in the country? Well, because they're good.
Yeah.
Chiefs are good. They've lost. They lost last week. Bad loss, I would say, to the Colts. But, you put the Chiefs up against most teams each week, I think more times than not, Andy Reid, Mahomes, they're going to win. I got the Chiefs at 4.
We don't have to have too much analysis on that. It would be overanalyzing because I, too, have the Chiefs at number 4, pretty much for all the reasons you mentioned. As long as the Chiefs have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they're going to be a contender. Now, worried about that defense, really worried about the loss of Tyreek Hill there, and we haven't really seen anyone ascend. Like, we were thinking maybe Juju Smith-Schuster would. We haven't really seen anyone ascend. You're not going to replace Tyreek Hill, but who's going to get close? That's still kind of up in the air, and I think there's a lot of questions. I think if you're going to get the Chiefs, it's best to get the Chiefs right now because you know they're going to figure it out by the time the season gets halfway through. Anyways, that's why I've got number 4.
All right, number 3 for me. This might still be football's best team, but they did lose, so I'm going to punish them a little bit. The Bills.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really good. They seem to be complete. They're certainly not perfect. Kind of we do the thing, if you're going to bet on the field or one team, I'd probably bet on the Bills. And you could argue that they still should be number 1. They didn't win, though, so I'm going to punish them for that. Still keep them as a top 5, and I put them at 3.
Okay, well, we differ here. At number 3, I have the Philadelphia Eagles. There's certainly a case to put them higher. You can only play the schedule.
Yep.
They played the Lions, the Vikings, and the Washington Commanders. That being said, they barely escaped Detroit, although Detroit, I think, is an improved team. They were able to really beat up on the Vikings, and the Commanders game wasn't even as close as it looked. We got, the score, 24-8. Jalen Hurts is a legit MVP candidate. He is a legit MVP candidate. That defense is solid. And, A.J. Brown matching up with Devontae Smith, that really has made a difference, I think, on this team. Zach Ertz is gone. Dallas Goedert, I think, has stepped right into those shoes. Offensively, I think they're a juggernaut. They're very, very good. It's how far will that defense take them. But number three for me, Philadelphia.
Okay, so now let's get to our top two. I think we're going to have differences here. This was a tough for me in the top two, and basically I'm rewarding the teams that were undefeated.
Yeah.
And I just bragged on the Bills, and the one team that beat them is the Dolphins, but I'm putting the Dolphins at two. Okay, now you pick apart their games. They stole one from the Ravens, but they won.
Sure.
And last week could have gone the other way, but that's a great win. The argument could be number one. I think the Eagles have been more convincing. I think their schedule's been easier, but they've been really convincing. Had to pick between the two. I went Miami at number two.
Okay, well, we don't disagree. I have Miami at number two.
Oh, I see what you did then.
I do. I have Miami at number two. Great argument to put them at number one.
Right.
You got to beat the champ to be the champ. I understand that. I'm not going to penalize them for winning a game. I will say they beat the Bills by two at home. I still think the Bills are overall the better team, but Miami is convincing me of some things. This is not a fluke. This is not a joke. They've got great new coaching. That defense is amazing. They could be number one. They're certainly a solid number two.
Yeah.
Number one for you.
Then it's the Philadelphia Eagles. Undefeated, as you said earlier, Hurts has been great. I think I'd like to see them play a better schedule, but that's all you can play is that. I think they really did a nice job against the Vikings. That's probably the best team they've played. Handled the Commanders. Ended up a close game with the Lions in week one, but just good, well-balanced team. Hurts is having an awesome season, and this list will change. But as of right now, I would put them in number one.
The defending AFC conference champion participants.
Runner-up.
The Tennessee Titans. Oh, wait, it wasn't the Titans. When did the Titans lose last year? I'm sorry. I'm getting completely screwed
they
up.
They lost their first game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We don't know what they are. They barely escaped the Raiders, but that was a second-half collapse. I'm bringing up the Titans because I still have the Bills as number one, and I've really struggled with this. How could I have the Bills at number one and the Dolphins at two when the Dolphins just beat the Bills?
Right.
And again, beat them by two on the road. I get it. It's razor close. But at the same time, for me, the Bills, they're just – I didn't lose there was nothing that happened in that Dolphins game where I went, oh.
You don't question the Bills.
There it is right there. They go into L.A. and destroy the Rams in the opening game of the year. They throttle the Titans. And then they lose to a team that you and I both have number two in the entire NFL by a couple of points on the road. I've got the Bills at number one. But, hey, Eagles, Bills, Dolphins.
Yeah.
I totally get it. Rams in the top five. Packers in the top five. That's the beauty of the NFL right now is it is an absolute crapshoot.
Yeah, and even with, I mean, last night's game got better but was not a great first half. The Niner-Bronco game was a tough watch. It's still the NFL. And especially, I maintain that Sunday morning when there's 8 to 10 games on, and generally the witching hour at the end is such great television where games are just flipping and drama down to the end. And the NFL's got it. It just does. It's really good theater each and every week, even if you don't always have great games. But for the most part, we've had a lot of really close competitive games, and I don't think this week will be any different.
No, I agree with you. And honestly, even on Sunday, we talked about it. Watching that Dolphins-Bills game, I think, gave a lot of us heart palpitations. The Bears won by three. The Titans won by two. The Colts won by three. The Vikings won by four. The Ravens won by 11, but the Patriots were making it a little bit closer than you might think. Almost all the morning games were very close, very interesting, very compelling, led by that Bills-Dolphins game. Then you get to the afternoon. 38-10 Jags over the Chargers. Rams won by 8. The Packers Buccaneers game was close,
but very late.
Very late and very just like. Yeah. And then you get the Broncos and Niners, and it's like, and honestly, not exciting.
Right.
The afternoon wasn't exciting. Certainly not as exciting as what's coming up today with Dallas and Rami.
Yes.
Malik Monk is on at 4 o'clock. Keegan Murray at 5 o'clock. I'll speak for me. You can chime in if you want. I had the pleasure of being to the left at a table of those two interviews. Mm-hmm. And although we were doing our own, they were magical. I've heard these interviews for the most part. And seeing Cattles and Rami just really ballet dance through.
They were ballet dancing. I did not see the ballet dancing.
Absolute quality. Is Malik Monk unhappy about coming to Sacramento? I'm not going to tell you, but you can find it. You can find out at 4 o'clock. Yeah. Cattles and Rami. It's Keegan Murray.
He's going to have a big year.
Does he know how to juggle 8 balls at once? I'm not going to tell you. Find out at 5 o'clock. Cattles and Rami. No, in both cases, a lot of great stuff out there on both shows. And you've heard from you heard from Sean Holmes and Kevin Herter here. Tomorrow, we will have De'Aaron Fox, mm-hmm. and we will have Harrison Barnes.
Yes.
And amongst all the basketball stuff will be in there. But De'Aaron Fox broke my heart when it came to video games yesterday.
I won't tell you.
No. And we find out a very surprising yet absolutely not surprising answer to what Harrison Barnes may do in his post-career.
Yeah.
I was very surprised by his answer. And then you're like, well, actually, yeah, let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a couple of very fun interviews. And again, don't forget Malik Monk today at 4, Keegan Murray at 5 right there on Cattles. And Rami, we will take a break. When we come back, I think we have somebody who saw it.
How about somebody who's not?
I'm not sure, but Jay's going to effort that. We might have some news.
Okay.
Maybe a note.
Mm-hmm.
And a celebrity birthday or 3 or 5 or 10.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll wrap up next.
You want Kings talk?
I'm a diehard Kings fan.
There's nowhere else you need to go but here.
Kings games, Kings interviews, Kings breaking news, Kings coverage. Nobody has it all but us. Sactown Sports, your local sports leader. What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Air and Solar, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
Who's hot? I want to know who's hot. Tell me right now.
Who, who, who?
Well, who, who?
Who? Who's hot? It? Over here. Ho, ho.
Tell us.
Ho.
Okay.
Who's hot? Ha! Just vamping for you, dude.
You ready for the hotness?
Yes.
Hot.
Ezekiel Elliott?
What?
You know he scored a rushing touchdown in each of his last 5 games against the Giants?
What?
The football ones.
No way.
That's the 3rd longest streak against the Giants all time. And passes Emmitt Smith in 2000 to 2002 for the longest by a Cowboys player. Who's not?
Who's not?
Who's not?
Well, the Giants, the team that he did all that against.
The football team?
Yeah, last night they did not run a single play in the red zone.
Oh, wow.
They're only the 2nd team to do that in a game this season, along with
the
Bears.
There's a bear on the field. The
Dolphins.
Commanders.
Mm-mm.
Sharks.
No.
The Yankees.
No.
Stop.
The Cowboys, coincidentally, who didn't they play in the red zone in week 1.
Wow.
Also, who's not hot?
Who?
Aaron Judge. After hitting his 60th home run last Tuesday,
wow.
Judge is now homerless in each of the last 6 games. Of the 7 previous instances of a player hitting 61 home runs in a season, none went without a home run in even 3 straight games after hitting homer number 60.
Oh, Jason's calling somebody.
No, I'm getting a call.
Oh,
there's 1 call, 2, 3. Oh, it's 3 call. It's a triple crown is on.
Oh, my God. All 3 crowns?
Wow. The triple crown is calling in.
I mean, not the one for horses? That doesn't make a lot of sense.
I don't know. He's leading in batting average, home run, and RBI.
Yeah.
Did he win Wimbledon? Oh, that's a grand slam. Silly me.
Oh, that's coming.
Yeah, he's
what would be baseball's grand slam? We know the triple crown.
How about
stolen bases?
That and MVP?
Oh, yeah.
It's fine.
It's kind of interesting that he's still got a 1-point lead in batting average. That was the one I was worried about. because he has collapsed.
Collapsed?
I mean, his collapse has been monumental.
Let's put it this way. Over the last six games, we have combined for the same amount of home runs.
This is true.
Judge. It's a, I mean, find the lines.
You don't have any hits or runs scored or walks.
That's
or
not
RBI.
What they pay us to do, though.
Just saying.
I don't like this.
News and notes right now.
Stand by on this frequency.
It's time for the news of the day.
Thank you for ruining the show and dropping a steamer on my journalistic integrity.
Today's important headlines, intelligent analysis, hard-hitting interviews.
Yeah, this is none of those things.
Here's Carmichael Dave and Jason Ross.
Oh, my God, I love those guys.
Kind of a sportsy note here, and on the... things that really don't matter in the big scheme. The Sunday night football game is the Chiefs and the Buccaneers, and oh boy, is it almost certain that that game is not going to happen in Tampa, as the hurricane is on the way and is already landfelled. It's already on land in Cuba. It was this morning. Hurricane Ian. And Florida is prepared. This thing is still kind of all over the place, but it was a Category 3, I know, as far as this morning goes. So people are being urged to go. And listen, when you got all this going on, the last thing you need is a big, giant football game at Raymond James Stadium. So we will see where, you know.
I know they've moved to the Dolphins facility. I'm guessing that means they'll play there.
At the Dolphins facility?
Mm-hmm.
I mean... we'll see. I will say, you know, my mom and dad grew up in the East Coast and spent a lot of time in Florida, and my mom would tell me about hurricanes. And all growing up, pretty much my whole life, I was like, you know, I don't want to be in a bad hurricane, but I'd like to be around. I just want to see, like, what it's like.
You want to see a bad hurricane?
I said not a bad hurricane, but, like, I want to see, like, what would it be like to actually see that from inside or in person, like the rain and to actually see the awe of nature in front of you? I always had that thing in the back of my head, like, wow, this would be really interesting. I'd love to see this. And then I was in a hurricane last year in Mexico, and it was a tiny little, like, Category 1 hurricane in Puerto Vallarta. And you know what? Nope, don't want any. Nope, not good. I'm good.
I don't need to experience a natural disaster to kind of, you know, realize they suck.
Earthquakes are one thing. Fires are one. Like, I get that. I lived in Nebraska and never saw a tornado, but was definitely a part of a lot of tornado watches.
Yeah.
Where you go outside and it's like, not great. Same thing with the hurricane. Here's the thing. It's all fun and games, and I say that with air quotes, when you're watching on television. When you're actually viewing it.
Right.
It's
frightening.
We don't realize how minuscule and weak we are compared to Mother Nature, right, until you go outside and you see things flying by you that have absolutely no business flying by you, or you hear sounds, smells, your ears, like weird stuff, like your ears popping.
No, thank you.
No, thank you at all. I don't want to take up too much time here. That was basically the thing.
A little longer break, so feel free.
Well, let me get to the National Day here, because I'm sure, yesterday, the last couple of days have been so lame. Today is the 27th of September, and that means it is World Tourism Day.
Okay.
Go on a tour.
Enjoy it with the world.
The world. This is stupid. It's National Scarf Day. Now, you may say it's dumb to have a scarf day, and I don't disagree, but we have all kinds of dumb things. Why would you not have National Scarf Day in the middle of winter? Why would you have it on
September?
It's
too early.
Yeah.
Well, it's also very cold in some places of the world, though.
Including our very own country. Not the cool ones.
It's not international. It's national.
Wow, shade at Canada.
Canada, America's hat. Who wants it? You know, like,
it's not America's scarf.
Thank you very much. That would be northern Mexico? I don't know what would be. No, actually, it would be, is there a mountain range?
Alaska.
If America was a that is actually true.
Appalachians.
It's National Corned Beef Hash Day. I'll say this: once a year after St. Patrick's Day, we do the corned beef and the potatoes and all that, and then my kids actually like more than the dinner. The next day, I take the leftover corned beef and I chop it up, and the leftover red potatoes and I kind of smash them down, and then whatever's in there, onions, carrots, whatever, and I make like this giant patty in a cast iron pan, put some eggs in there. It's great. Also, last thing for you guys. Today if you want to drop by the house. Today is Compound Butter Day. I went to Sam's Club last weekend. I have 10 pounds. That's right.
Wait, you actually physically went?
To Sam's Club?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thought you Instacart everything.
Nah. So I have 10 pounds of butter at the house, and I have my mixer. And so I'm making four compound butters. I'm doing a garlic and chive. I'm doing a cinnamon and something else, like brown sugar one. I'm doing a dill and a smoked salmon. Wow. I forget the other one. Make the compound.
All butter?
You roll them up in little saran wraps, and you put them in the fridge, and you can slice them off. I have to bring some in. Okay. Oh, and a sun-dried tomato and something. Celebrity birthdays.
Celebrity birthdays. Celebrating birthdays today on this September 27th. Let's shout out a few people that we've lost but would have had birthdays today.
Okay.
Including one during this year, Meatloaf.
Mm.
Meatloaf passed, but...
I love every iteration of Meatloaf. I love the actor from Fight Club. I love the musician, which I remember most from the Bonnie Tyler song, Total Eclipse of the Heart. Although we had, you know, I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. And then when asked what that was, he was like, not the thing you're thinking. And I also like actual Meatloaf, which still is alive to this day.
Yes.
We had it for dinner a week ago.
Okay.
His name was Robert Paulson in Fight Club.
How old would he have been today?
77.
I was going to go with 74.
No, you weren't.
75.
Champion.
How about another one? I just want to put a shout out because we were a fan of this person. Because Walker tells me Wilford Brimley would be how old today?
Wilford Brimley would have been 84.
82.
88. Mm. All right. Happy birthday today to Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne.
Lil.
A lot of Lils in the rap game today.
Yeah, Lil Wayne.
Lil Baby, Lil Uzi Vert, Lil something else probably, I'm sure.
Lil Lil.
Lil Lil, that's what we need. We need a Lil Lil. Lil Lil Cool J.
Yes, there we go.
Lil Wayne is 43.
45.
He is 40. 40.
Big 40, big 40.
Big 40.
Happy birthday today to Avril Lavigne.
Ah.
Just a skater boy, Avril Lavigne.
Canadian, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, she is, as a matter of fact. I believe she married the lead singer, a Good Charlotte, once upon a time. Hmm. Avril Lavigne is 42.
I'm going to say Avril Lavigne's 38.
Avril Lavigne is 38. Right on the nose there. How about Gwyneth Paltrow? Ooh. Happy birthday.
Oh,
well, Gwyneth Paltrow. QP. Yeah, she is 54. Getting up there.
Gwyneth Paltrow is an even 50.
Gwyneth Paltrow is an even 50.
You have such an advantage because I go first. You
know, no, it's actually not an advantage.
Actually an advantage.
All right, just to switch it up. Yeah. J. Mars, you tell us how old Coach Steve Kerr is.
Ah, Stephen Kerr. Trying to do a little math in my head of his graduations. Stephen is 54.
Steve's 53.
Steve is 57.
Haha.
Jay, what? All right. Happy birthday to NBA's Dallas Mavericks, Christian Wood.
Ah, whole C-dub.
C-dub.
Christian Wood is 30.
Christian Wood is 26.
Christian Wood is 27.
Yeah, I noticed.
And happy birthday to Mike Schmidt. Legendary third baseman.
Orioles great, Mike Schmidt.
Orioles great, yes. Known for all those years. Phillies legendary.
Strikeout king.
Yes.
Mike Schmidt is, you know, it's a big day for him.
Is
it? 70.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
69.
Mike Schmidt is 73.
I'm the champion. Whoever gets the last one is the winner. How long do we have?
We got about 2 minutes.
Why?
Remember that part of the show where look at the rundown?
All right, well, here's the thing.
You didn't look at the rundown again?
I looked at the rundown.
Then why'd you ask?
I don't know. Sad news today in the world of movies. Actually, this came over the weekend. James Earl Jones is no longer... Jay looked at me like, oh, don't you dare. He's still alive. He's just done doing Darth Vader. And this happened in the Obi-Wan thing, too. They used the AI and... all that, but he is 91 years old.
Years young.
Yeah, that too. I'm not ready to ever lose James Earl Jones. Like, there's some people, I'm like, you've lived a great life.
It's baseball.
Let's
right?
go. Yeah, right?
Which star hit you the hardest, do you think, when we lost them? Robin Williams was tough.
Robin Williams. not only did I worship Robin Williams, but he died on my birthday. Oh. And every year now, you know what I'm saying? Robin Williams, Chris Cornell hit me really. Anthony Bourdain crushed me. Mm. I really, really loved Anthony Bourdain. But with James Earl Jones, you know, Darth Vader, he mentioned Field of Dreams. I always liked him as, what's his face, in The Hunt for Red Octobers. He was great in those movies.
My favorite role of him, Jason, I know you watched, Coach Kuzo in Best of the Best.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was an excellent taekwondo coach.
That movie was something else.
It was. Probably.
Went out the team.
Ernest was in it.
Yeah, probably, right? James Earl Jones and Ernest ever share a stage? Probably not.
Barney and Jones. Great stage show.
Buddy cop movie. Barney!
Today at 4 o'clock, Malik Monk. At 5, Keegan Murray with Cattles and Rami. We'll have De'Aaron Fox and Harrison Barnes tomorrow. For Sean Salisbury, Jay Mars, Jason Ross, I'm Carmichael Dave. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye now!
You want Kings talk?
I'm a diehard Kings fan.
There's nowhere else you need to go but here.
Kings games, Kings interviews, Kings breaking news, Kings coverage. Nobody has it all but us. Sactown Sports, your local sports leader.